You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, you did it. Yes, right, you did it. And you did it safely. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11, 8 to 10 Pacific. So that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Central, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Mountain, and 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific. Okay. Because I think I ran through that and it didn't sound right to me. But that is African Perspectives and other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays at 6 p.m., from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10 on Monday night, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. And on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. Wednesdays at 8 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 9, the Black Farmers Report. On Friday, if it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 4 to 6 on Saturday, the Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m., from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It's time for an awakening. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, please go to WeBuyBlack.com if you find it in your heart to help develop a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, because we don't have American African-owned, operated supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And hopefully by doing so, that will provide the impetus to have a supermarket in your area. I ain't talking about a convenience store, a corner store. I'm talking about a supermarket where brothers and sisters who do farming and growing can have their wares and have their produce displayed
And also, too, who do other things in terms of groceries and whatever it is. It's us. And that's what we need. We need to support us. So, brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans with Bomani Tayemba. He is ready to go. He is leaving on the 24th. That's right. Next week. On the 24th, going to Ghana. From May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then in November, November 18th to the 29th, Tanzania. Going to Tanzania. In fact, I just found out by reading the African World. Went to Abaka Sumsum. That's what we're going to talk about today. And one of the sisters, in fact, you've heard her husband. He has been on the program, Brother Idiemi. He has been on the program talking about the book, that the children's book, A is for Africa, S is for sovereignty. And they moved to Tanzania. I'm so happy for them and proud of them. And that's going to be November 18th through the 29th. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th in Senegal and Gambia. April 1st to April 11th, 2022. And still, the cost is $3,700 per person. Very affordable. Everything you need is on the website. And there's calls that people can take advantage of and talk about the trip and what is definitely needed. Shots that need to be taken, all of these things. So, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Baba Rinoco will be my guest this Friday. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to Baba Rinoco. And the program, of course, will focus on all the things that Baba Rinoco is doing. And believe me, he's doing a number of things. In fact, on the 28th of this month, the African Roots of Humanity and Civilization, Friday, February 28th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Because you know Baba is in the West. He's in L.A. And then Saturday morning, gets up early, 8 o'clock. But 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Saturday the 29th. The African Roots of Civilization. This is a Eventbrite. So you're going to need to get the information from the Zoom to participate in a lecture. Also, too, he is going to Ghana. He's going to Ghana. And that is July 18th through August 3rd. He will be with Professor Smalls, Professor James Small, and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. And then he's going to, at the same time he's in Ghana, he'll be leaving from there, going right to Kemet for a tour that he has. He has a Kemet tour, July 31st to August 13th in Kemet. So check out Baba Rinoco at drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com. If you want to email him, email him at rinoco@hotmail.com. I'm not going to give his phone number out because a lot of times he don't answer the phone. Oh, he's a beautiful brother, though. I love him. He don't answer the phone. But he'll be my guest this Friday, and we'll talk about these things and a number of other things. All right. Habashaw. Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to HammershawIncorporated.org and find out what these brothers and sisters are doing here in the Atlanta area and the Kashi Project over in Ghana. And of course, Habashaw stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Their mission is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Once again, when you go to the website, HabashawIncorporated.org, you will see also they're offering a program to help repatriate, to help you get back home to Africa. So go to HabashawIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, TheLedgeGroup.com. Go to TheLedgeGroup.com also, too. Please go, because they have a raffle. You could win a Tanzanian safari that is valued at $15,000. Go to TheLedgeGroup.com. Of course, the Ledge Group deals with the four areas of human development: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have projects in 12 countries. They have 12 projects in six different countries with over 170 employed and 260 members. You should become a member of the Ledge Group. Also, too, speaking of Tanzania, if you are a member of the Ledge Group, they have a program. They have a program that you can take advantage of. In that program, you can buy an acre of land in Tanzania for $250. $250. Maybe you might buy, you know, $1,000. That's 4 acres. That's a lot of land. 4 acres of land. So check out the Ledge Group, ledgegroup.com. BB Toomey. ABIBITUMI.com. BB Toomey. BBTUMI.com. This past Saturday, Saturday afternoon series. Outstanding, as always. And, brother, let me go to there. I should have did this earlier, but I didn't, you know. And there's all kinds of good stuff that is happening with BB Toomey on the continent. You know, there was a very good program this past Saturday and dealt with Israel. I don't know, I should have pulled this up earlier because it's dragging. Yeah. But it was a very good program. And although I mentioned the documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019, and the brother said, I don't know about that because, you know, in fact, during this presentation, you know, it was dynamic. What was Israel in relationship to black people? The danger of a single story. The danger of a single story. And it was outstanding. And he dealt with it from the Medunetra. And he reads Medunetra. He's a dynamic brother. Obadale Kamban is a dynamic, my brother, and I highly respect him. He didn't go along with what was said in the documentary, but that's okay. You know, that's okay. You know, but I embraced it because it seemed logical to me. And I know he read from saying that the number of quarries that they dug from, and okay. But was, you know, once again, that I would never fall out with a brother, especially someone like him who has dedicated his life for the liberation and the total sovereignty of African people. I'm with him, you know. I'm with anybody who feels that, wants that, desires that. I'm with them. I'm with Baba Baruti, Mama Marimba Ani. I'm with them, you know. So the next one coming up is the 22nd, and that is Spirit in the Room, an African-centered approach to therapy from Ifet to Ma'at. Ifet to Ma'at. And then the 29th, I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But Legacies and Impact of the Transatlantic Trade on the African Diaspora. That should be very good. And once again, brothers, just go to the website, bbatumi.com, and events, and then you can follow those prompts. And usually about $10. It's well worth it. Well worth it. ABIBITUMI.com, BBTUMI.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Georgia, right on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard at Wadada's. Saw her yesterday at, I Habakkuk Sim. And they're right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of Black Madonna is open on Saturdays and Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. 1 to 7 Friday and Saturdays, because you know they have an array of things for you, from jewelry to clothing to furniture to books. Of course they have the books, the red, black, and green shoes. I mean, they have an array of stuff for you. So check out the Shrine. Check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar for delicious smoothies and health drinks, pastries and so forth, and tea, soups, teas. Yep. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a bigger place, and I know she's happy with that. And that is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call. If there's a book that you desire, she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it for you. And the number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Featuring books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, certificates, all kinds of good stuff. Give her a call. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazende Ajamu. He has the coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon boil and other African coffees and teas. And he has books. And once again, too, if you desire a book and he doesn't have it, believe me, he'll get it for you. Give him a call. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, as the Shrine does, and others. So give him a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, because there is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, after Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com. And talked with Brother Ankti yesterday at Bakasim. And he says, you know, you're kind of getting dissatisfied with the broadcast on Blog Talk. And I know I've been. In fact, oh, man, because you can hear a lot of background stuff. It's hard to do, you know, to mute that. And so I was blessed when Brother Ralph, and I always got to give love to Brother Ralph, because he was listening to my program on Blog Talk, and he mentioned Time for an Awakening. Contacted Brother Booker, Elliot Booker, and me and Brother Elliot worked it out. Many other people went with me, Dr. Rogers, as you know, he's on Tuesday nights and on Saturdays. Many of the people went with me to, but what happened was that there was some problems with the equipment, and they went back to Blog Talk, unfortunately. And they want to come back to Time for an Awakening. I told them I got the equipment for them, I'm ready for them to come back. And so we hope that happens real soon. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development for the Cooperative for our people. Every Thursday night, their broadcast is 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com/ULU. So go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Time. And the name of the program is Dare to Win, from 9 to 10 on Thursdays. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall booth number 225, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give Sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Oh, babe, I messed that up, didn't I? Sanjay Dash, Haiti, Sister Gabby has been doing an outstanding job. Please, brothers and sisters, go to sanjay-haiti.org. That's Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-haiti.org. And check out what Sister Gabby is doing, the beautiful pictures of our children in their uniforms, and they're dealing with education, sustainable agriculture, health care for the children, and entrepreneurship, where they learn, you know, they grow chickens, they have chickens, they have a farm, they, you know, do all kinds of beautiful things, and they definitely need to be supported. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. My good brother, Baba Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti has been doing an outstanding job. They deserve to be supported as well. So please go to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box. But if you want to pay by Cash App and PayPal, say, for instance, Cash App, use the dollar sign Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, and Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, their books are on sale at Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, akabinhouse.com. And the great books that Baba Baruti has written, and you can access those. So, also too, Baba Baruti will be, he will be on a program coming up in the UK. Let me see if I can pull that up right quick. Yeah. In a program in the UK. Affirming Black Manhood. That's going to be on June 20th. Sunday, June 20th. And it's going to be early because it's in the, it's broadcast from the UK. But of course, he'll be here as well as many others. Himself, Robin Walker, Ifeanyi Grant, Brother Mudenke, Baba Bantu, and it's hosted by Shaka Ra. And that's We Are Black Men. And it has been almost become unpopular to talk about what it means to be a man, to deal with the concept of manhood. We've got to deal with it. You cannot get around it. That's Amos Wilson, Nana Amos Wilson. Affirming Black Manhood attempts to contribute to the process of Black men taking back the power to define, develop, and demonstrate what it means to be a Black man. Our facilitators approach Black manhood from various perspectives with an emphasis on promoting the values, principles, and ideas that represent the best of who we are and indeed the best of what we can become. That is Sunday, June 20th at, I think that's 7 a.m. Eastern time. And so you know it's going to be really tough. Yeah, 7 a.m. Eastern time. But it's a long program, so it's 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm not sure that the difference between, I think it's $10 U.S. I'll get that information because there's, some great presenters, and they have a bio of each presenter. So definitely check that out. ShakaRaSpeaks.com. ShakaRaSpeaks.com. And Baba Baruti would be one of the main speakers. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 16th, the construct of homophobia is in itself a lie. All sensible people should question the purpose, function of homosexuality in life, in humanity, not the right to practice whatever we choose. That really is not the point. We all know for sure nobody got here via homosexuality. That is a profound fact. Nature has an order, and we may not want to follow it, but that is common practice here in the culture of make-believe. Dana Denard. Just as homosexuality flowed into our community with the escalation of destroying African manhood, and pedophilia is doing the same in the wake of the progressive dismantling of the African family, the memory of our enslavement is being erased and our children are being socialized within an agenda converging sex and violence, which is normalizing sexual bondage. There is a reason why pseudomasochism rules the internet, mesmerizing our children, and the reason is Urugu. Our children are being introduced to sexual insanity as they are discovering something new when these abbreviations are as old as Uruku. We know that is what they have always done to each other as a manifestation of their severely twisted, tortured psyches. These are behaviors which become normalized among them years ago. And they, as a nation, consciously, subconsciously, hid this from us because they knew that they couldn't have never caught us off guard otherwise. What we see our children now being exposed to is coming from far deeper in the closet or the cave than we ever imagined, because we have already taken so far into that which we have come to mistake it for home. Affirm, I protect the babies from sexual insanity in all forms. Affirm, I protect the babies from sexual insanity in all forms. See, once again, the Enye Sasim, you know, and just talking about how important manhood is and the conference they're going to have on June 20th. Yeah, I tell you. May 17th, bad character causes one to become a coward. Odu Ifa. Since we are the children of Ma'at, the divinity within us is targeted by those who want to destroy our spiritual connection. It is their full intent to break our spirit. It is the full intent to break our spirit so that we will become them, though lesser, and do their will. The targeting of who we are as a people in an anti-African reality has invited even ever-expanding streams of meaningless, distractive, childish debate over what constitutes good character, i.e., what it means to be African. In what we have come to call the conscious community, this childish debate has been spearheaded by those who want to modify the meaning of African consciousness so that it will be more user-friendly to compromise Africans. But most importantly, this is an effort to bring the definition of what it means to be African more in line with Urugu's perception of us as being simply a melanated sub-variation of them. Damn, that's deep, ain't it? But most importantly, this is an effort to bring the definition of what it means to be African more in line with Urugu's perception of us as being simply a melanated sub-variation of them. Affirm, I have good character. Affirm, I have good character. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This was said by Lord Macaulay. This was his address to the British Parliament on February 2nd, 1835. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa. I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such great caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage, And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and British is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a fully dominated nation. And I've seen it, brothers and sisters. I've seen it firsthand in Ghana. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've seen what some of the Africans there want so badly to do is go to Britain, go to London, to go to London and be educated by Europeans, be educated by the French, be educated outside of Africa. Yeah. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said when he, in 1957, when Ghana was the first country to break from colonial, from the colonizer. How did that sound? That sounds better. They were the first to break from the colonizers. 1957, but some years later, 1961, the Speech of Freedom, he said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, and the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. A few years later, this is what he said. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Man, how pointed, huh? How prophetic, how sad, how ridiculous. Brothers and sisters, we must help Africa to be free from colonization. We must unify Africa. Africa must unite. We must have the African unity, Federation of African States. Why? Because to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. Our thoughts to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts, so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. We are Africans, brothers and sisters. But also, too, because the future towards which the Urugu leads us, the Europeans leads us, is genocide. Marimba Ani. Marimba Ani. It was good to see her yesterday. And she looked good. She's in great health. Beautiful boxes and sum sum. Of course, one of the things you take away from a Bakasin Sumsum, especially in the last 5 years, I think it's the 18th Bakasin Sumsum, 18. But for the last 5 years since I've been here in Atlanta, I've attended a Bakasin Sumsum. I didn't attend last year, unfortunately. The date was changed until November, and I just had that situation. And so, I didn't attend. But I was honored and just pleased with, even though it was not a large, it was over 100 of us. But they've had crowds that I can remember, 200-300. So, but it'll get back up. It'll build back up. And the reason why, because more of us will gain consciousness, more of us will understand the importance of it, and getting that spiritual jolt that we need to carry on this great work of independence, this great work of self-determination, this great work of liberation, this great work of sovereignty for African people. There is no other way. That's why in this program, the model is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's it, brothers and sisters. That is it. That's what we must do. There is no other solution. There's only one solution: unification of African people on the continent that is unified, not 54 supposed sovereign states. No, no, it's not. We want to make it the continent of Africa sovereign, period. Even the Arabs in the north, either you comply or you're going to get out. Comply means that you agree with African sovereignty and you quit treating African people in Mauritania, in Libya, each with disdain and disgrace. Africans on the continent, if your country is not involved in that liberation, we will come at you and your so-called weak-ass leadership who are robbing the people. We'll awaken the people to get rid of their ass. I don't give a damn. We don't have time. Time is of the essence. We must come together to do this. Everything we do, as Dr. Clark said, should be a tool for our liberation. And if it's not, throw it on the junk heap of history. Everything we do. The African World, the newspaper, and it's a great newspaper, how, you know, it's taken after the I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I had to do something right quick. It's taken after the Negro World, the African World newspaper, and all the editions have been outstanding with great information. You know, rebirthing a mighty race, rebirthing a mighty culture. Our success educationally, industrially, and politically is based upon the protection of a nation founded by ourselves. The nation can be nowhere else but Africa. Let me read that again. That's Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Our success educationally, industrially, and politically is based upon the protection of a nation founded by ourselves, founded by Africans on the continent and throughout the diaspora. It is our beating heart. And that nation can be nowhere else but Africa. I like the idea that we want to include other parts of the diaspora where Africans are predominant, such as Brazil, the many places in the Caribbean and so forth. The problem, of course, with that is that the management, the quote, ownership of those places are not ours. We've been placed there. We've been taken there to serve the interests of colonizers, to serve the interests of those who had taken land and more than likely remove indigenous people from the land. Because a lot of times, I mean, let's be real. You are not going to come to my land and then make me work for you. I'll fight. I'll resist. Yes, you can eliminate me because you have developed weaponry far superior. And that's why I continue and will continue to promote the documentary Exterminate All the Brutes that is airing on HBO. And I hope you get a chance to watch it. Exterminate All the Brutes. Because that one segment of killing at a distance is deep. Because that's what the European has been able to do. And that's very intimidating. When you say, I can stand out here on a boat and fire cannons and then battleships in today. And now all kinds of stuff that they can do with these missiles, guided missiles, pinpointing. I mean, once again, he's always found a better way to kill your ass. And, but I'm going to say to us, and definitely to us, damn that, we must be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. So damn that. Even to the point that if I'm the last man standing, I'm the damn last man standing. No, you're right. Baba Oshie didn't take care of himself so well, and so therefore at 70, damn near 70 years old, I could have been better, but I am not. I am what I am. And my contribution to our liberation, to our self-determination, to our sovereignty is broadcasting every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is what we talk about. Once constantly putting on our minds, getting us to think, because that's what we're at battle for. It's the African mind. If we will all reject this madness, Nyerugu's intentions, if we all reject it and say no, mm-mm. Oh, I understand we're going to have to defend a position, no doubt. No doubt. But by the same token, how we do it and how way we do it and when we do it, whatever, moving us closer towards the ultimate objective, sovereignty for African people. Sovereignty for African people. That's why I'm saying join the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We have a program on the 25th, African Liberation Day. African Liberation Day. You know, I know we have a program, and I know there's some other programs that are happening. I was, I guess I can say this, a little upset back in October when we had the Pan-African had something going, other organizations had something going. And I think there has to come a time right now, has to come a time like right now that we all say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to join in, and you can make the damn title as long as you want to. I don't give a damn if you want your organization in that title or even come up with a better title. I don't care. As long as we all are agreed, we all of us who are African-centered, all of us who believe in African self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, this is it. And we're going to take this globally. We're telling Africans throughout the diaspora, this is it. We're telling Africans on the continent, this is it. And we're going to work, whether we got to go to Addis Ababa or whether we got to go to wherever we got to go, we're going to make it plain. And then we're saying to all those who are on Africa, particularly the Chinese, the Europeans who have been there for centuries, even those Caucasians in South Africa, who I think two or three of those groups are trying to make a enclave or a suburb or whatever the hell it is that is strictly theirs. Strictly theirs. And want to call themselves sovereign on our soil. And so all of those, you got to go. You want to do that? Take that shit to, take that sugar, honey, iced tea to United States. I'm quite sure when we leave, you'll be welcome. Because your mindset is the same mindset. You'll be welcomed. You know, you can do that here. And the Negroes that are left here, because, man, we fought and died for this. We have just as much right to this as the Europeans. And, if, of course, they want to deal with that like that, so be it. Y'all can hang. But for us who understand that, for us to raise our children to be strong men, and beautiful women to take care of us and our families and our elders and give reverence and honor to our ancestors. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. So I'm going to talk about more about the Abaka Sansum Sum, read about it through the African World newspaper, you know. you know, one aim, one destiny. That's right. The African world. And so we're going to talk about that. And of course, Wednesday is El Hajj Malik El Shabazz's birthday, Malcolm X, Brother Omar Wali. And I'm going to talk about that at the beginning of the program. And then in the second hour of the program, Chief Igoma Wali of Tulsa, Oklahoma will be my guest. And we'll talk about all the things that are happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma to commemorate the massacre of our people and the destruction of what is then called Black Wall Street, a thriving community because of the, let's keep it real, of the oil wealth of Oklahoma. Because, you know, we were sent to Oklahoma along with indigenous people, along with the native people, so to speak. We were sent there. And so a lot of our people, in fact, one of the earlier cities is Boley, Oklahoma, if memory serves me correctly. But in Tulsa, we thrived and we built a community. Easier to do at that time because of, you know, the Caucasian did not want us in their community at all. No, I don't want to sell to you. I don't want to buy. I don't want you even. So, okay, cool. We'll do our own thing. And we did. And we did it on a grand scale. Theaters, hotels, restaurants, churches, you name it, we had it. And some of the places, they were just phenomenal. And then, of course, jealousy, mean-spiritedness, envy, hatefulness of Europeans towards us, waiting for any damn excuse to vamp on our community, to steal, rob, and then pillage, and then burn to the ground, and to kill. Allegedly about 300 of these Caucasians killed about 300 of our people. Mass graves. And yet, they tried to whitewash it. They tried to whitewash it. Like they did everything else. All of these things. Rosewood. Elaine, Arkansas. Allentown in the LA area. All of these places. More contemporary cities that came under the model cities contracts and urban renewal, urban removal, the interstate cutting through our communities, destroying valuable community like they did in Milwaukee, like they probably did in your city, in your area, show enough in the Raleigh-Durham area, the Hayti community of Raleigh-Durham. So, dear brothers and sisters, they have told us time and time again. They have shown us time and time again. If we don't know who they are by now, we will take it from Harold Melvin in a blue note. If you don't know me by now, you'll never, never know me. You know, it's hard to think of humanity having enemies within itself. But that has been the case from the development of human beings. And the human beings that should have been modeled after and listened to, of course, are the Kemetic people. They had a society based on human need and worth. Wasn't based on captivity or slavery or poverty. In order for me to have, a whole bunch of people can't have a damn thing. They can't even have sugar, honey, iced tea. I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I got some calls. And we'll talk about Abacus and Tsum Tsum. And we'll read from the the African World newspaper that comes every year when there's a Baka Tsum Tsum. So brothers and sisters, you stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Feeling like I'm in the tails of the crib. Mechanisms can't break what's in my system. Never. Officials say, ready to strap with a pistol. Don't you create another issue? Or if you're gonna drop a missile, who straps? Because your feet don't drag. If the earth is your country, the wave, come on.
Fight back, hey. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power me and my people in five strikes. niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the stampers. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your television's a camera, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. They recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
How do you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back, ready to fight back. If your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 arounds, the spell has been broken.
Shout less. Yes. Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
I am.
Wait a minute, shout less. We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name. A new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new god. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you. The power of being my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise through eyes of a needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie. Now do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power of being my people and power strike back.
Lost in confusion, believe in illusion, so no revolution can take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace all over this earth curse with hate. Still bowing down to masters who burn in cash play. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, but intertwined. Can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs. We leave the clock, the age of.
Against us, they're trying to take us down, but you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors, the ancestors, come on, come on, come on, that's black science.
Now do you like that?
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. That is followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, The Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report was Wednesday, 8 p.m. from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard every Friday from 8 until Saturday. From 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yeah, the good weekend. Glad to be at Abakasan Sum Sum. The reenactments, the spirit of it, the feeling of it, it's beautiful. You know, the ancestors called upon, of course, the usual has been Marcus Garvey. And they had a brother from Tallahassee. Love those brothers and sisters from Tallahassee who come, you know, up this way.
And they really, and what's also beautiful is that rehearsals are done over the phone, probably on Zoom conferences, you know? But yet they've come here, and they come here from San Antonio. They didn't make it, but that's where the African World newspaper is printed, in San Antonio. That is where the Arrow is published, out of San Antonio. You know, I love the Arrow. Babu Phil Johnson, great ancestor. And so they pull it off as if it was, they've been doing it for weeks, and it's beautiful. And of course, Dr. John Henry Clark, Nana Clark, and he brings the children. He has the children sitting down at his feet, and he's talking to them. And then a ancestor appears. They had Yahasantiwa. They had Bukman. They had Bukman. Bukman Duty, who was Jamaican, but who was very instrumental in the Haitian Revolution. In fact, they highlight in the African World two people. That's the center portion of African World, Baba Hannibal Afrique and Nana Clark. And I'm going to read those in a little while. But I'm going to read Bukman Duty. This was said in August 14th of 1791, I believe. And there's two portions of it. And it's translated as another portion I can't read because I don't know the language, but I'm going to read these two portions that I can. This prayer, invocation, call to action, is recalled from the night of the celebration of the Vodun spirit of Ogun, the god of war. Bukman eloquently charged the assembly with the wisdom of African rebels from times past. Death to the whites, destroy the colonial settlements, and black domination and black dominion. Good God created the earth, who created the sun, which shines on us from above. God stirs the sea and makes thunder rumble. God of ours, who has ears to listen, though hidden in the clouds, you watch over us. You see everything the whites have done to make us suffer. The God of the whites invokes villainy. Our God within us calls us to do good. Good God of ours, who is so good, who is so just, commands us to vengeance. It is our God who directs our arms to reap victory. It is our God who gives us assistance. Cast away the image of the white man's God, who is thirsty for our tears. Listen to the voice of liberty that sings in all our hearts. He said, throw away the white man's God, and you will be free. He didn't say, you might be free, you could be free, there's a possibility. No, he said, throw away the white man's God, and you will be free. I don't know if you noticed that, if you were a constant listener, you probably have, that I constantly emphasize the word will. I constantly emphasize the word will. You know, just like in Bibi Hodie, our victorious destiny. I put an emphasis on will. Bibi Hodie, our victorious destiny. We will have victory. The will. That means that internally, there is nothing can stop us. We have the will to forge ahead regardless of what obstacles or pitfalls that are in our path. And we march together. Because it is in our connectedness, it is in our unity that we have strength. Unify or die. Unify or die. Ibaka Sansumsum, non-negotiable principles of commitment. Our constant supreme objective is world African sovereignty. Our constant and supreme objective is world African sovereignty. That African people, any and all around the world, we will be sovereign. If you want to stay where you want to stay and it's cool for you, but yet you understand African sovereignty and you support that with money or other resources, whatever you can, because you support that, you understand that, and you understand that Africa must be free. I ain't got no problem with you as long as you, wherever you are, you ain't a traitor, you ain't an agent provocateur, you're not working for Urugu. We need each other. We commit our mind, body, and spirit to building an African world order. An African world order. Remember what I read earlier, which I read periodically when I talk about what Kwame Nkrumah was talking about in terms of Africa coming together. When Ghana gained its independence, he wasn't talking just about Ghana. He was talking about Africa right away, uniting Africa. Later he said, because if we don't do this, we'll be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves and become a far greater. How prophetic and how pathetic it truly is. And then Mama Marimba said, to be truly liberated, African people must know the nature of Europeans. That's our problem a lot of times. Because we believe in their lies. We believe in their religion. We believe in their systems. We've embraced them. But yet, it does nothing for us collectively. It may be doing something for individuals. There's some individuals that sing high praise to the system. There's some individuals that were happy that Muammar Gaddafi, what he was trying to do on the continent, that he was murdered by the West. Because they probably said, well, you know, your investments might take a real big hit if Muammar Gaddafi does what he's going to do to Africa, and by giving them a gold dinar, a gold coin that can help liberate Africa, so your wealth might take a big hit. And so your ass was like, oh yeah, get rid of him. Kill him. Man. I got a call. Let me take this call right quick. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, man?
Good afternoon, Jay. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, listen, you were speaking earlier about this whole thing with Tulsa.
Yes.
And the commemoration that's coming up.
Yes.
For the 100th year.
Yes.
Man, the narrative on that is going to be crazy. You're going to see all sorts of narratives that is just going to be so deceitful, untruthful, dishonest, man. It's going to be crazy,
yeah,
man.
I agree with you because I'm going to have Chief Igumawali on Wednesday, which is also Malcolm's birthday. Elhaj Miligal Shabazz, Brother Omawali's birthday. And for the first hour of the program, we're going to talk about Malcolm and honor him. And then the second hour, he will be my guest, and we'll talk about the mass murder, the massacre of our people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the 100th anniversary of it. And we're going to talk about
that. But do you know that all of the major media is going to be there?
Yeah, of course they are.
And, you know, let's be honest. How the fuck could they tell the truth about what really happened? Excuse my language, but I just got to say it like that. How are you going to try to justify the behavior? How are you going to try to put some spin on it that doesn't show the white man for being what the F he is? I mean, I really want to see how they go pull this sugar honey iced tea off.
I agree with you, brother.
Most of our people have no effing clue of what happened with that situation. But the most egregious sugar honey iced tea is going to be the Negroes that are going to try to justify it and make it not being as brutal as it actually was.
Let me say this to you, and I agree with you, and that's why I want you, and you are an avid listener, and I appreciate that. But make sure that you're listening on Wednesday when the chief is here, because in our conversations, he's been on the program before, right after I came back from Tulsa last year in January. So around about the spring of last year, he was on the program, and me and him have been maintaining communications, and I can't wait till Wednesday myself so we can talk about some of the issues and problems and concerns of how this thing is going to be presented. But his group, the Legacy, they are the ones, not the John Hope Franklin group. You know, the John Hope Franklin group, that's the brought to you by, you know, sponsored by, exactly. But this group,
oh man, it's gonna be deep, man. And the most dangerous of them all is gonna be these black media cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're gonna all be there as part of putting forward their platform. But are they really gonna tell the truth? Are they gonna try and identify the white boy for what he truly is? Are they gonna try and give the devil a path for his behavior,
well,
the reason why they did it and all of that, or what they gonna do, just try to glorify black people for the achievement that they made, but not put into the totalitarian behavior of how these white folks just went out there and killed these people because of what they achieved and the jealousy and the envy and the wickedry and how the people were never compensated properly
never.
For what was done for them and how they tried to whitewash it to a certain extent. I mean, it's just going to be bananas.
I think it's
going to be worse than the change in the narrative of slavery. Lastly, this. Have you been watching The Underground on Amazon?
The new movie Underground, the Underground Railroad.
It's a series.
Right. I have not.
Okay. Well, hold on, Jay.
The only thing that I heard about it is that it is very romanticized in terms of they picture or they display a underground railroad, a literal underground railroad, in the movie. You know. And I don't know if that.
Well, it's always romanticization in regards to the brutalization of the white man and what they've done to you. Even though they show some of the barbaric nature of this white man, they show one scene of them whipping a brother back in front. And then setting them on fire, you know, having the slaves stop working, picking cotton, and then, you know, all gather to witness the brother being set on fire. That was just some of the brutalization that they showed so far. But, I mean, it's you know, I got to finish watching it because I'm only, I think, on the on the fourth.
You're on the fourth segment. Episode. Oh, okay. You deep in.
It's ten segments.
Oh wow, it's ten segments. Okay.
It's like a television show, whatever. But you know, hour long. You know, mm-hmm. 10 segments, 10 hours, whatever. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying, man, it's gonna be real interesting with this whole Tulsa thing. I really want to see what the narrative is, because I was listening to a live on Instagram, and they had one of the media darling sickle fan Negro loving. Who we love to love for what reason, you know, I don't know. Tiffany Cross and Jason Johnson. And they were talking about how she's going to do her show from Tulsa.
Oh, Tiffany Cross is?
Talking about, okay. Are you going to be at Tulsa? Now, let me just finish this. What they're basically saying is everybody is going to be there. It's so hot that they got to get their hotel rooms and rentals and all of that in order now, because people are just buying it up. Yeah. For what effing celebration, I want to know. What is there to effing celebrate?
No, this is That's no celebration. I've never called it a celebration. You know that. You know that, Jay. No, this is a commemoration of a massacre. This is a solemn, deep commemoration, man. It's no damn... You know, although they're going to have some entertainment.
Do you see why I'm pissed off? Do you see why it got me so hot? A celebration? What effing reason would there ever be the celebration of the slaughter of African people? And how do you justify it? Yeah. What are you... Oh, man. Once again,
AJ, stop that, Jay. Be cool. But listen, man, I'm going to have the chief on this Wednesday in the 12 o'clock hour.
I'll be
talking about the birthday of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, you know. So, oh, we have.
Well, let me just say this, because I gotta go on mute for a few minutes.
Okay.
Well, let me just say this. Why don't you have the brother come on Wednesday for that hour, and if he can, come back on Friday and extend it, because that's something that an hour is just not going to do justice.
That's true.
Brother.
That's true. But I've tried, and he's very busy. So I'm going to have him come on after the commemoration of the devastation that happened to the brothers and sisters in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He'll be coming on afterwards because he's very busy, and so I just try to nail him down until finally I got him, you know, nailed down to Wednesday for an hour.
Well, we got to put the word, we got to try and put the word out about it. And we got to try to put the word out about the smoke screen that they're going to try to put up in dealing with this massacre. But listen, put me on mute, man.
All right, dear brother.
Try to chop in a half an hour or so. Okay. If not, I look forward to Wednesday.
All right,
peace,
dear brother. Peace. 469. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother. Oh, she Kevin.
Hey, Prince. Kevin. Hey. Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah, you got those articles. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Jay doesn't have to get that upset about it. You know, I'm from East St. Louis. I lived in Houston for 8 years. I lived in Dallas for 20 years. And now I've been here for 5 years. Every city that you go to, and those two, Houston and Dallas, and now Tulsa, I've seen gentrification take place in those areas that were old freedmen's towns and so forth. So, I mean, it's happening in every city.
Yeah.
It's happening in New York.
Yeah,
you know,
in Harlem,
in Atlanta,
in Harlem.
So
it's happening right here in Atlanta. In fact, where I live in Atlanta. And you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I live in Atlanta." They probably don't, because Atlanta is area.
It's real small.
It is, you know. Yeah. And so, but I live in Atlanta. I live right here on Cascade, which is part of Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And right across the street from where I live is John White Park, which is a driving range and a golf course and other stuff. And yeah. What's interesting in this last 2 years, they've been making improvements on the park, getting mm-hmm. ready for these Caucasians. They got a thing where there's a shade, because there were no shade, you know. But now they have these two portable things that create shade. They got stands. They got a new building, you know, all up and down Avon. There's the gentrification going on. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, see, let me kind of – I worked in info management. And let me tell people, let them know now what to look for when you're places, when you've got an area that they're talking about gentrifying.
Okay.
One of the first signs is you'll see a big truck and you'll see that big orange cable. That's fiber optics. If you see that winding up in your neighborhood, things are going to change. You know, then you know what the next thing is. You'll see some street improvements, sidewalk mm-hmm. improvements, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know that it's all over when you see Amy and Bob and Puff
walking their
down
dog.
The street.
Walking their dog, right? Yeah.
You know that
yep.
basically it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say about Tulsa, because what's happening here is no different than what happens everywhere in America, in cities where they celebrate supposedly black accomplishments. The good thing about this is that a lot of people, it will prick the interest of them doing a little bit of research. Now, for those folk who I'm speaking to, like I'm not from here, but I know more about the 21 massacre than most people who live here. And that's not their fault, because it was purposely taken out of the schools, and even people's parents didn't talk about for fear of retaliation. There's a brother right now that has a suit against the city of Tulsa, DeMario, I think that's his name. He's a lawyer here. He didn't find out about it until he went to college.
Mm.
And he said that there was people talking about Tulsa and 1921, the massacre. Said he told him, no, you can't be talking about Tulsa. I'm from there. I've never heard of it.
Mm, that's deep,
so,
ain't it?
And there was a brother who was on the council. Same thing with him. He didn't find out about it until he was like 15 years old. So I think that it's an opportunity for people to prick their interest and do the research. When you talk about Black Wall Street, it no longer exists. It no longer exists. But that's no different than most of the central black business districts that existed within the United States. It's no different.
No, it isn't. Because they're all gone. They're
all of them gone.
Listen, Kevin, please correct me if I'm wrong, or as the saying goes, rescue me okay. if I'm wrong. There okay. is no place in America where we, as African people, have a self-contained community where we provide jobs, we have stores, churches, everything. There is no place where that Tulsa or Rosewood or Allentown in Los Angeles area, none of those places, there's not one place like that. Even the Atunji Village in South Carolina is really not like that. You know?
I'll go a step further than that, and I'm going to step out on this. I would be willing to bet there's not one city within the United States to where you have 5 black-owned service stations.
I agree. Because Milwaukee only has one.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Kansas City had when I was there that one time? Kansas City, Missouri?
Probably none.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're talking about, I mean, we're talking about building communities and so forth and doing that. if you can't establish a service station in your community, man, look.
Yep.
You know, you got to go back to the drawing board and say, what kind of miseducation am I receiving? Mm-hmm. Where I can't even. And look, Oshie, I'll say this and then I'll leave it alone. Just think about it. You have black folk out here with masters and PhDs and all kind of postgraduate degrees and so forth. And you have people who come over here like the Vietnamese and the mm-hmm. Asians and so forth,
mm-hmm.
Indians, can't even speak the language.
Exactly.
And you know that they've never gone to postgraduate schools, got degrees, but they're smart enough to where
they can run a
they
business.
Can count your money while mm-hmm. you pump your gas.
mm-hmm. We don't have it here. There's not one in the city of Atlanta. It was on Facebook, the sister and brother who established one. I can't remember what county it was, but that was just it. We don't have a supermarket here. If you've been hearing in my openings, when I talk about, that we need to establish a supermarket here through We Buy Black. Because containment, We Buy Black. When you go online to We Buy Black, they talk about help donate so we can establish a supermarket in the Atlanta area. When I first moved here about 7 years now, well, 7 years, there was a supermarket called Fairfield, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that maybe they were black because, number one, they serve a lot of pork. You know, they sell a lot of pork. So I thought maybe they were black, okay? So I called them up. And a sister, you know, you can tell dialect because you know it was a sister. Sister answered the phone. Yeah. And I said, "Hey, Wayfield? Is that us?" And she laughed. He said, "No." I was like, "Damn, we don't even have a supermarket here in the Atlanta area with over a million of us in the metro Atlanta area, over a million, probably even more, 1 point something, maybe 2." Because the metro Atlanta area, the city is like 600,000, but the metro area is like damn near 6 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there several times. Worst traffic I've ever been in my life. Traffic is horrific. And I hadn't been down there now in about over 20 years. I know it's worse now.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right.
But anyway, I'm not going to take any more
of your
time.
All right, my brother. Thanks a lot, Kid.
Wanted to kind of chime in.
Yeah.
And I'll probably see you down here when you get here.
Oh yeah, we'll make sure of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
I'll be in Tulsa Thursday the 27th until that Monday.
Okay then. We'll hook up.
Sure. All right, brother. Peace to you. Thank you.
All right. Then.
All right. Peace. Yeah, I tell you, it's man. Yeah, but we'll talk more about that on Wednesday. Let me get back to the African World newspaper and what Abaka Sansum Sum deals with. And I said our constant and supreme objective of Abaka Sansum Sum is world African sovereignty. We commit our mind, body, and spirit to the building of an African world order. African sovereignty is based on Ma'at, the principle. We have everything we need. If we instill Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, order and balance. We still instill that in ourselves and into our daily lives. Our social order must be consistent with African spiritual philosophy. Our value and our belief systems are reflected of the African world order. Spirit is political. Ancestral power strengthens us, and guides us as we wage war. We are therefore committed to the development of African spiritual warfare. We believe in ancestral communion. We are committed to understanding how it functions in our daily lives because of our reciprocal and intimate relationship to our ancestors. The proliferation of African life is of paramount importance to us. Therefore, any lifestyle or political, social, economic policy or action that threatens African life, we define as an act of war against ourselves and our ancestors. Let me say that again. Because of our reciprocal and intimate relationship to our ancestors. The proliferation of African life is of paramount importance. Therefore, any lifestyle or political, social, or economic policy or action that threatens African life, we define as an act of war against ourselves and our ancestors. We are clear in our definition of the African family as man, woman, and children. We are committed to its development and defense. As Africans, we recognize two genders and understand that it is only through the union of a natural African man and a natural African woman that our ancestors can return. So if you believe, as I do, in the ancestors, an African ancestral communion, then you understand that. As I said, there are beautiful papers, a lot in it, and a profile of Queen Mother Moore, in memory of Queen Mother Moore, my sister and her daughter, Dudi Yemi, who wrote the children's book, A is for Africa, S is for Sovereignty. They moved to Tanzania. It's beautiful. I'm very proud of them. I'm very happy for them. And I really want to go to Tanzania in November. So I'm going to get my act together and get prepared for that with Brother Bomani. He's going November 19th. And so I definitely want to be a part of that. They focus on two of our great ancestors, Baba Hannibal Afrique and Dr. John Henry Clark. Baba Hannibal, our power is in our connectedness. Baba Hannibal was a Jegna. Of course, a Jegna, they don't use the word mentor. We don't use the word mentor. In fact, the African Liberation Day with New York, Florida, Atlanta, and what's the D.C., and maybe more. They're going to talk about what's in a name, what's in a word. And I've been blessed to have been asked to be a part of the program. And I'm going to break down and bring some of these words that we should not be using. Think about, we should never use mentor. Who is mentor? In the Greek tragedy story or in the Iliad of Homer, the hero is Odysseus. Or Ulysses, whatever, I don't know. But anyway, he gives his son, because he's going out on this trail of conquering and, you know, stealing people's stuff, as they do, expanding their empire. But he hands his son over to mentor. And mentor, this is the story, sexually abuses his son. And yet, we continue to use that word. I didn't know that. I've known it for many years now, of course. But I didn't know that way back when. So we should not use mentor. We should use Jegna. And I got to get that word for a person who is being under the tutelage of a Jegna, what that person would be called. Jegna is singular, Jegnak is plural. And that's the word we should use. Then I'll go through other words when we get towards that day of Tuesday, May 25th, African Liberation Day, a day all of us should commemorate, a day all of us should respect and focus on, because that's the bottom line. Africa liberation. Mama Marimba wrote this. Baba Hannibal was my Jegna of war. He taught me the concept of sovereignty, which for him meant African sovereignty. Baba Hannibal was a military commander. He guided us in training, strategy, and objectives. He exemplified Sumbe Pa, good character. His word was truly his bond. He demanded much of us and of himself. When greeted with, "How you doing?" he would always answer, "Being productive." When we volunteered to do work, we were assigned a task. he would invariably expect a written report of the progress. If Baba Hannibal had to say to me, "It's time," I would have followed his orders. I trusted his judgment, his degree of seriousness, level of commitment, clarity of purpose, and readiness for war were exemplary. Greater than anyone I have ever known, he was an ancestral gift. My marimba. This is Baba Baruti. Nana Hannibal Titus Afrique was a consummate warrior who naturally evolved into a masterful Jegna to countless warriors. He epitomized the idea of a frontline Imhotep man, a man without contradiction whose abiding vision was nothing less than African sovereignty. He did not speak it in complicated terms. He, as Nana Malcolm instructed, made it very plain. His logic was flawless in its straightforwardness, his core thoroughly grass-rooted in our way. Baba Baruti. Baba Hannibal's teachings. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't go. What we believe is demonstrated in what we do. The ancestors have put us here for a purpose. I have no doubt that we're going to win, Ashe. In a moment of crises, we need to call on Malcolm, Marcus, and Harriet. We must believe that we have the ability to create our reality and the courage to defend it after creating it. Let me read that again. We must believe that we have the ability to create our reality and the courage to defend it after creating it. Our quest must be for national sovereignty, international sovereignty, African sovereignty. Otherwise, we are condemning our children to be slaves. Once you compromise, one compromise leads to another, another, and another. The warrior has to provide and protect, guide, and direct. The warrior has to provide and protect, guide, and direct. Baba Hannibal Afrique. I met Baba Hannibal in the 90s in Chicago. We were meeting in Chicago, the black firefighters. He's a staunch advocate of reparations. And in fact, I think after that they had a reparations conference in Chicago at what is now Brother Baba Jetty's Center, the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies, of which Hannibal Afrique was instrumented. But of course, my good brother, we was part of. So he got in contact with me while I was there. I met him and we talked about getting the black firefighters involved with in COBRA. Getting the black firefighters to support it, to put their name to it, and more importantly, bring in people to talk about reparations and get our membership to understand that we need to be a part of reparations. And because I was the president at the time, we did just that. You know, and I always want to say something about Conrad, Brother Conrad World, Baba Conrad World. And that's another guy, I tell you, I miss, admire, and respect. He went to the ancestors last year, you know. So it's Baba Hannibal Afrique. So Dai, the clarity of Nana Clark's directives. So Dai. These are quotes from Dr. Clark. And you see many pictures of Dr. Clark. Love Dr. John Henry Clark. I've told you that one of the highlights of my life, along with the birth of my daughters and grandsons and everything else, is having lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark at the Indiana Black Expo. And I thank Sister Turner for helping to set that up and the
other brothers and sisters of Indiana, Indiana Black Expo. What a great expo that was, man. You know, Khalid Muhammad, Tupac Shakur, Anthony Browder, all these people I met. I bought his book, Non-Valley Contributions, that just come out, but I had to explain to him that I was using from the Browder file and buying that book in bulk to give to the young people that I worked with, because I felt that that book would help raise their consciousness, because it's not very hard to read, it's not very long, you know, and it's to the point. And so I thanked him for that, you know. And but having lunch with Dr. Henry Clark was the, you know, also too, I met Muhammad Ali again. That's the second time I saw Muhammad Ali. The first time I was a kid, when the Muhammad's Mosque number 3, that's the third mosque. The first one is Detroit, the second one is Chicago, and the third mosque that was in the Nation of Islam is in Milwaukee. And Muhammad Ali right there on the street. I was there at the time. Yeah. And then, of course, the third time was my friend. We went to Louisville and went to the Muhammad Ali Center. And I'm in their shadow box. I took my shoes off. I'm in there prancing and dancing, because I boxed because of Muhammad Ali, you know. And I'm dancing and prancing. And she says, Oh, she, come here quick. So I gathered my shoes up, and then, wow, there was Muhammad Ali. Didn't have a phone, didn't have a cell phone, didn't take a picture. But I have this memory, and I always will. Hugged him, told him I loved him. He did that thing with his fist to my jaw, you know. Ali. But Dr. John Henry Clark, special. There is no way to build a strong, independent nation when most of the land is being controlled by foreigners, who also determine the economic status of the nation. We must take control of Africa. Freedom is not free. It is something you take with your own hands. You maintain it with your own hands. It's the bottom line. In order for us to do what we must do, we must come together to do it and defend what we have done. Freedom is not handed down from one generation to another. Each generation must assume the responsibility of securing their manhood, their womanhood, the definition of their being on earth. That is, in the final analysis, nationhood. You often said it was one of the things that our captivity has taken from us. Understanding what it means to be a nation. The laws of nationhood are the laws of responsibility. We are not going to save ourselves until we are conscious of nation responsibility and nation building. We're not going to save ourselves as individuals. We're only going to do it as a collective, as a collective. Individualism, this is me, individualism is a European Caucasian desire. Collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. We are not going to save ourselves as individuals. We're only going to do it as a collective. We're going to have to be bold enough, even if we have to break our own hearts, to find out where we went wrong. We shouted nation time too soon. We shouted nation time before we understood what a nation is. To have a nation, you must know everything that goes into the maintenance of that nation. If you shout nation time and you do not produce the safety pin that holds up your baby's diaper together, then you have shouted nation time prematurely. You aren't ready for nation time. I remember him saying that, you know, we must say to ourselves, I'm not going to wear any shoes my people don't make. I'm not going to wear any pants, any clothes my people don't make. Basically saying that we must do for ourselves, instead of looking for anything outside of us. That's why it's important for us to liberate Africa and be a part of Africa's new renaissance. If the whites in South Africa eliminated apartheid tomorrow, the Africans would still have no economic power, and their land would still be in the hands of foreigners.
Isn't that what's happening in South Africa today? Didn't I just say to you, there are areas within the South Africa where Caucasians have a sovereign area of land. That's something that we could never do anywhere on this damn planet. But yet they do whatever the hell they want to do. And yet we don't run nothing there. That's why I love Brother Alima. He's saying, get y'all sugar, honey, iced tea out of Africa. Caucasians, the Boers, whoever they are, the Dutch. I think that the predominant theology in South Africa is the Dutch Reformed Church. I don't know. I believe it was at one time. The British, whoever else, the Indians. Remember, the Indians were in South Africa pretty big. They were that buffer between us and the Caucasians. And the Caucasians didn't like their ass either. And the Indians, of course, that's where Mahatma Gandhi was talking about kafirs, right along with the Caucasian. See, I wish Dr. King would have known about Mahatma Gandhi instead of looking at his tactic, because they were outgunned. They were not out. They would never be outmanned, but they were outgunned. And so they said, let's engage in, you know, nonviolent social interaction. Let's engage in that. Africa is a pawn in the world power game that Africans have not learned how to play. We're pawns. But yet we have all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure as hell don't want to pay for it. That's Dr. John Henry Clark quote too. We must produce a generation who believes that they can rule the state again. The people right now, they must, that's why I'm saying that we must get the young people and educate them right now. And everything that we give to them is a tool for their liberation. All the information, whether it's math, science, any and everything. And they'll be so strong by the time they can go to high school. They don't give a damn about what they learned in high school. They'll give them what they want, and they make sure that they get more advanced in science and more advanced in other areas. But if you want that, and that's what you want, here it is. Because everything should be a tool for their liberation. If African people all over the world are to save themselves, they must find a way to reclaim some of the life-sustaining things they lost in our captivity and colonialism, and slavery and colonialism, and through the massive anti-African propaganda dispensed by Europeans all over the world. All over the world. That's why the European, the Caucasian, the whites, the O-Fays, and all the other adjectives, crackers, conkies, whatever, have done a devastating thing on us as a people. The lies they have told, and the world despises us. The world despises people who are melanated all around the world. You may have a country where melanated people are predominant in that country, but you won't see them on TV. You won't see them in the newspaper. You won't see, because everywhere around the world, to be light, bright, and damn near white is what's valued. Brothers and sisters, my time is up. I will be talking more about what's in the African world. I look forward to Wednesday when we pay tribute to Elhaj Malik El Shabazz, pay tribute to Umawali, Malcolm X, and we talk to Chief Ugumawali about the Tulsa massacre and the activities and festivities that are going to be happening in Tulsa. So, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words
of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. Hope you'll be joining us on Wednesday and on Friday when Baba Rinoko will be my guest. And brothers, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibivahodie. Bibivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.